Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Sometimes as men, sometimes you just can't,
go around flaunting everything that you have. You don't go certain places and, you know, discuss certain matters that go on in your house with somebody that's random on the street. You know, definitely in your kingdom, when you build that kingdom, you have, definitely have to have people that you trust, first off. And like I said, you definitely have to have God there for your kingdom to be established, like it says in the next couple verses. So, definitely, you know, I would say, as it talks about, you know, a king and searching is that you definitely, when being a king, have to have that face of, you know, even in the middle of, you know, adverse times or in a little situation, people look up to the king as the leader. You know, you have to have that leadership type of role, but not type of role, but leadership type of mentality to even be in that position. So when it continues to go down and it talks about the dolphin and silver, you know, I think that over time as a king, you definitely, since I'm still on that topic, you definitely have to go through some situations and just as a general, because out of silver, you know, that's the unpure thing that's in the silver. So you have to go through certain situations and certain tests just to get something that's pure enough to create. And also, as it continues to talk about, you know, I understand the king type that once, you know, you have your kingdom and you have your advisors, okay. And it says, you know, once you remove the wicked officials from the king's presence, throne be established through righteousness, you definitely see the point made of that without those people, you know, as God is your advisor, as God has your officials, that, you know, through righteousness, that is the best way to go. You know, things that aren't righteous or things that aren't per se wise in God's eyes, those things, you know, like it just says, it's not wise in God's eyes, and we want to be wise, you know, he wouldn't have looked for us if we weren't going to be wise. I think it just takes time to definitely, you know, as a king, have God there and continue to help us. Those first couple verses right there are very interesting to me. Do you have any other callers online, like McConnell, Moyer?
Yep. Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody. I definitely agree with what you're talking about, Brother Anthony. I definitely understand and feel where you're coming from, especially when it says things like remove wicked officials from the king's presence and his throne will be established through righteousness. Because, see, we got to get the people that ain't good for us. Some things or some places that we're going that God is trying to take us is that these certain people can't go with you. And see, as long as we try to hold on to the people that ain't good for us, see, because we're talking in terms of a king. See, now, see, his throne won't even be solidified until that he gets the wicked away from him. Because, see, God wants to exalt us. God wants us to be able to have life and have it more abundantly. We are kings and queens, and so when you remove the wickedness, that's when the Bible says that, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Because see, that's how God sees us. But we can't have. See, we can't take everybody with us where we're going, even though we like to, even though that that's our homeboy that we grew up with. But in verse 5 it says, "Remove wicked officials." That same homeboy, that girl that you've been talking to, that them group of people that you are associating with, not saying that you're doing the same things that they're doing, but God tells us to remove the wicked officials and his throne will be established through righteousness. See, that's how we want to be established. We don't want to be established through anything else. I'm going to just say that. We don't want to be established through anything else except righteousness. For when God looks at us, that he is pleased with us. But sometimes in our lives, right, we cling on to these certain folk and we cannot be established through righteousness because of these certain people. Now, it's a choice for us to be around these people because, see, God reveals their true colors each and every time. God reveals their true colors each and every time, so it's up to us to remove it and up to us to set part away from it so we could be established through righteousness. Some of us, I'm going to speak for me. I'd rather be established through righteousness than anything. I don't care who that wicked person can be. Because, see, sometimes that wicked person can be near and dear to our heart. That's why we won't let he or she go. So that's my take.
Amen, amen. That's definitely on point right there. You know, you can't take everybody with you. You know? And I think definitely, you know, those people that you definitely can't take with you certain places. You know, you wouldn't take certain people to certain environments that's not good for them. Definitely have to be wise in that area right there. If you have any other
sometimes we lack it because of the person that we care about so much. See, sometimes you got to put it down and let it go in order for God to be him. See, we got our hands on too much. We want to worry about too much as the two fishermen that went in the boat. God told them to drop everything and follow him. See, but sometimes we are too emotionally attached to certain things that we cannot just drop it and follow him. See, and that's the holdback. That's the setback because God wants to know that, would you live for me? Would you die for me? Would you give up all your riches and come with me? Would you give up that fancy lifestyle? Would you give up the cars? Would you give up all of the finest clothes? Would you give these things up? Would you put on filthy rags just to follow me? Because see, when you follow Christ, see, everything else is going to happen. Everything else that is good, everything else that is meant for you, everything else that was in his plan, it falls in line. But first, what we have to do, and I'm reminded as the lady at the well. See, before the lady at the well, Jesus was healing a ruler's daughter. And when he got to the place, the first thing that he said, because you see, it was so noisy out there, what he had to do was, and people were doubting, people were laughing, they were joking, they were playing around. So what did God do? God said, hold on, let's get these people outside first. Come on now. He said, let me get these people outside first. And then what Jesus did was he simply touched her hand, and she got up. See, because sometimes the mess in our lives are like anchors. They hold us down. They keep us in place. And sometimes, and I'm going to leave it right here, sometimes we're our own anchors. Carry on, Brother Anthony.
Sound like you was having church over there, young boy.
Yeah, we got our own anchors sometimes, but that's it. That's all. Go ahead, go ahead. Woo.
Hey, if you got four, man, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Go ahead, man. Let's get these comments, man. Because see, at a certain point, we got to stop blaming ourselves for what we go through. We got to stop blaming other people. We got to stop taking the blame because God says, man, look, 1, 2, 3. Now we want to make it E equals MC squared. That's why we want to make it. And then at the end of the day, we sit back and say, God, how you let that happen? Me, oh my. I'm guilty of it. That's how I know. I could talk about that. But go ahead, y'all go and get some more comments. This is a great proverb this morning.
Yeah, I think. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I think you need to preach it to the president of the United States this morning. Mm. He can't get his act together because he got too many unrighteous folk around him.
Mm.
And you know he can't do what he needs to do because he's hanging out with the wrong crowd and got too many the wrong people in his cabinet, too many wrong people hanging around in the White House, and he needs to get on the first word. To understand, you know, what this proverb is saying, that, you know, remove wicked officials from the king's presence and his throne will be established through righteousness. But he's not getting wisdom. He's not getting that understanding. All he had to do is go back to the Nixon administration and find out about that craziness that he's doing. But, you know, this proverb talks about order. It's talking about leadership. It's talking about responsibility. And, you know, God has an order, and he speaks through his leaders. And, you know, it's God's pleasure to give the leader or the king the knowledge. But the leader or the king has to seek out the knowledge from God.
Ooh.
And if he doesn't seek out the knowledge from God, then those that he leads is not going to follow. And, you know, it's the same thing with us. If we're going to be leaders in our home, leaders in our churches, we got to seek out God, and you know, God's going to hold us responsible for seeking out his lead, or searching out what he wants us to do and then sharing it with those that we are leading. Same thing with our family, same thing on our jobs, same thing with who we're hanging out with. And you guys are right on point. You can't hang out with everybody.
Mm.
Everybody's not down with God, and so you have to learn how to be the leader and say, hey, you know, this is the way God says we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. And if you can't get in line with it, then you can't hang. And, you know, basically, you know, and that's with anybody, any male, any man in leadership. If you're seeking out God and doing it God's way, everybody's not going to be down with you. Everybody's not going to be happy with you. But you're the leader, and you have a responsibility to set the tone. I don't care whether you're at school, you're hanging out at the park, wherever. You're God's man, and it's up to you to set the tone, and that's what we need in the White House. We need someone that's going to seek out God, someone that's going to not have, you know, crooks and criminals hanging around them. And if you do that the right way, it's not going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Mm. But at the end, you'll be able to establish your throne or your position of leadership in righteousness.
Amen, amen. Any other callers on the line that would like to make a comment on this? Is it a good proverb right here? All right. There's no other comments. I'm going to continue on to the next couple of verses.
So, verse 6, it says, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. Mm-hmm. What you have seen in your eyes, do not bring hastily to the court. For what you will do in the end, if your neighbor puts you to shame. Your neighbor to court. Do not betray another's confidence, or the one who hears it may shame you, and the charges against you will stand. I think I'm going to talk about the last couple verses here that I just read. I think that's definitely true, you know, that when you have a neighbor, or say your neighbor is your friend or your brother or something, you know, you're definitely supposed to go to that friend or whoever that is first and be like, hey, man, you know, I think that we can maybe resolve this. It's your neighbor. This is somebody that you see all the time. Somebody, if it is your neighbor that you live next to all the time, you know, and maybe you don't want mess going on where you sleep at. Put it that way. you know. You don't want a lot of stuff happening, you know, that definitely could have been avoided in the end. I think also where it talks about the king and showing humiliation, I mean, not humiliation, but humility, to the point of I'm going to be humble and I'm going to wait for him to notice me. You know what I'm saying? It's a thing definitely where if you take that pride and you try and be, you know, that first person to be in the king's presence or tries to, you know, sit up there with him and put yourself on the same level, you're definitely not on the same level. If you look at it as God being the king, you know, we're not on the same level as God, per se. We have the knowledge that he's left for us, as we're reading right now, to know certain things, but we're definitely not on the same level as a king, as God. You know, I think that's my take on that verse right there. These verses right here, what do you think about that, Brother Jamal?
I like to take a crack at 6 and 7.
Okay.
Because, see, okay, how I want to put this. I was a part of a ministry that is no longer. And after this ministry diminished, I started to see this young man going out and putting out flyers and putting out cards and created a social media page and what he's doing is he's putting himself out there. He's putting himself in a position where he's telling you, hey guys, come pick me, you know, because I can do this and I can do that and I can do this and I can do that. Well, I was in the same ministry and I carry on the same ministry and one thing that I do is when I finish dancing, people often come up to me and say, hey man, you know, good job. You were so good. You were so good. You were so good. And all I would do would point up to God, because see, that's where the blessing is coming from. And this other young man, see, he's out here telling people, yeah, man, I could do this. And he's in rap videos and he's doing that. One thing that I love about God is that even in my ministry, in my dance ministry, that I still keep on. Not one time. And this is just to show how good God is. Not one time have I ever been somewhere and left cards. When it's real, and they know that God is a part of it, when they know that anointing is on you, people gonna come looking for you. See, I don't go looking for the people. Because see, God's going to bring the people that need you, and see, we started from this great duo called K and K Mime, and this young man flew all the way to Texas just to meet them and to dance a part of them and to become known, but he didn't make it because see, God did not pan it out. God didn't say, okay, you do this, do that, and do this. And I know I'm right about it because it was a struggle for the young man. It was a struggle. And when after he did all of this, all that he got was a picture with them. He didn't get on no DVD. They didn't make his brand name mainstream. That's because see, we out here, when you out here fishing for stuff, see, let it come to you. The Bible says that it's better for him to say to you, come up here. I know that, you see, you don't have to say, oh, I'm this person, man. I do this. I do that. Because when it talks about in verse 7, the second part, it says that for him to humiliate you before his nobles, somebody tell you, man, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. We were at a dance explosion yesterday, and if somebody just, oh, man, I do this, I do that. Okay, they all do. Now you're humiliated. But when God is in the midst, God will bring the people to you that you need in order to make his kingdom known. Be able to exalt him. So if we out here bragging just because this person got a name, LaVar Ball is the father of Lonzo Ball, and he's been on all these great ESPN shows with Stephen A. Smith, and he's talked to Magic Johnson and everything. And one thing that he kept saying is that he will spank Michael Jordan on a 101. He's already, before this boy even played his first game, he's talking about how, oh, man, he's better than Steph Curry. He's better than this person. He's better than that person. He's better than this person. And he's getting shamed. Well, I only seen him with Stephen A. Smith, and Stephen A. Smith is asking him, what is wrong with you? How can you say these things already? How can you say he's a more pure shooter than Steph Curry? How can you say these things? And see, what happens is, they started making his father look like a dummy. Everybody is going to be focused on this boy's career. Anytime he messes up, they're going to ridicule him because of what his father did. So that's my those my takes on any verses. Any more comments?
We only got a couple seconds left here. Any last comments? All right.
Just make sure you're established through righteousness. That's the only thing that's going to last. Anything you do for Christ, that's the only thing that's going to last. People always going to come up in your face and try and tell you what you do is wrong. People always going to try to shame you, or people always going to try to tell you that if God is real, why is this, that, and the fourth that's happening? Just keep the head up. Keep the fight strong. Stay on the course, because it ain't over. It ain't over. I know so many people that has given up on the course. Don't give up. Keep on going, because there's a road ahead. And if we always saw the other side, then what would we need Christ for? It's always going to be worse before it gets better. Whoever is on this line that's going through whatever that they're going through, just trust God and lean not to your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge Christ, and he'll make your path straight. And remember that the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. They didn't say that the weapons wouldn't form. And know that God, and know that if people just start acting funny out of the blue, if people's relationships just start dropping off out of nowhere, just know that God is taking you to a place that they can't go. And sometimes it's your mama. Sometimes it's your daddy. Sometimes it's your siblings. Sometimes it's the people that opinion matters to you. That's what it is sometimes. But as the woman in the well that was bleeding inside for 12 years, she said, no matter what, when I see Christ, I'm going to get to him. So just whatever it takes, man, be on fire for Christ. God is doing something in our lives right now. That's why we're going through this turmoil. See, this is to whoever's on the line. Whatever you're going through it for a reason. This is the process to righteousness. Hey, yes, sir. This is the process to your success. It doesn't feel good, but guess what? It's worth it. It's painful, but it's necessary. Sometimes you got to feel like you're alone. Hey, sometimes you got to feel like the world is against you. Sometimes you got to feel like mama and daddy don't understand. Sister, brother don't understand. My main man don't understand. Sometimes we have to realize that God is taking away all our second options so he could be the first. Come on, man. Go ahead and pray out. It's okay, whoever you're struggling, but it's fine. Don't give up on what God showed you, because whatever's for you, it's for you. That's why it can't work for the next person. You ever wonder why something works for the next person but won't work for you? It's because that ain't for you. God got a favor over our lives, and favor ain't fair. Go ahead. We be on here till 9:30. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Whew. Favor not fair, man. Favor will put you in a position where somebody has been at this job for 20 years and you've been there 6 months with a promotion and a raise. I know he can do it. I'm the testimony. That's favor. Favor ain't fair. Favor get you that last parking spot. Favor get you that that green light. Favor put you in a place where people will begin to hate on you. Favor ain't fair.
So,
we ran out of time. This is phenomenal. He's going in right here.
Man,
I definitely believe in what Minister Jamal's been saying. It's so true, so true, and definitely falls in the category of, you know, we said while we're here on Earth. That, like you said, you know, once God has you and He's on you, that purpose is going to be fulfilled regardless.
Mm.
So, like you said, just stay in there, hang in there, everybody, and everything going to be all right. So keep God first. Minister Jamal, you want to close this out since you're on fire?
Yeah. Father God, we want to say thank you. Father God, just thank you for this fire word that you gave us this morning, Father God. Thank you for the trials and tribulations, Father God, that we have gone through, what we're going to go through, Father God, because we already know that you're the answer, Father God. You are this answer, Father God, to the test of life, Father God. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, for all the men that's on this line, Father God. We're going to continue to give you the glory and the praise, Father God, for your word says that if you be lifted up, Father God, that you'll draw all men unto you, Father God. So we just want to say hallelujah right now. Thank you, Jesus, right now. We love you, Father God. We adore you, and we praise you, Father God. We thank you for the protection, Father God, of Psalm 91, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you will have a place for us, Father God. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow, Father God. We thank you, Father God, right now, Father God. We ask you just to give us every man in the line, Father God, encouragement and motivation through the week, Father God. Get them, Father God, to the point where when we get into conflict, Father God, the first thing we do is fall to our knees, Father God. I ask you, Father God, to bless the heart of God, Father God. Let your anointing fall afresh, Father God. Let us receive a fire word today, Father God. We ask you to just have your way in our lives, Father God. We say yes on this line, Father God, right now, Father God, whatever it takes, Father God, we ask you, Father God, just to keep being you, Father God, have us forever in your care, Father God, grant us traveling mercy, Father God, for wherever that we're going, Father God, be in our church services, wherever they may be, Father God, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. First word.